This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Hey, Carm Capriotto here, the automotive podcast guy, bringing you another episode recorded live at the 2021 ATI Super Conference. If you're in need of a heartwarming story to inspire you to do more for your community, this is the episode to listen to. Helping your local community should always be on your to-do list as a business owner, but how many of us are really taking action? How do you get started? How do you budget donations? Well, in this episode, Dina Ganji explains the importance of community support and why you sometimes just can't put a dollar amount on helping others better their lives. If your shop isn't involved in the community, then there's no better time than now to make a difference. So many top shops make community one of their passions, and if you are not, it's time to start. Use this podcast episode to catapult you to be a strong philanthropist. Hey, thanks to Apex and Shopware for providing this episode. You know, the chance to nominate your favorite shop owner, service advisor, and technician of the year has arrived. These annual Apex Awards recognize those who truly go above and beyond to keep vehicles on the road. I'm involved in the committee, and I want you to nominate someone. For details, go to aapexshow.com/service awards. Nominations are due Wednesday, September 1. Hey, do you remember the 90s? Well, your shop management system does. Printing paper, shuffling clipboards, leaving voicemails. Hey, grab a paper clip while you're at it and pull some trouble codes. Hey, the check engine light's flashing and your profits are running lean. Get modern. Go to getshopware.com. Hey, are you displaying your community proclamations, plaques, and trophies inside your business so your customers can see them? Great. And if you're not, you need to start. Hey, warm welcome to Dina Ganji from My Mechanic Maintenance and Repair from Tucson, Arizona.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, I'm so happy that you're here. A little side story, everyone. I think you know that I did a live Town Hall Academy from the stage here at the ATI Super Conference 2021, and I'm tearing it all apart, and Dina comes up to me. She knew that we were going to do a podcast the next day, and she goes, "Do you need any help?" And I said, "No, I never ask for help," but she started to wrap wires and pack stuff, and thank you for doing that.
Thank you for allowing me. Helping is what I do.
Yeah, I know. I kept saying, no, go away. She goes, helping is what I do. Helping is what I do. And then I remember the notes that she sent me about her great company and the things that they do. And I, you know, I read them this morning and I reread them now just before you came in. And the differentiation that you've brought to your business through community and all the things that you're doing is the honorable story here that I need to hear and we need to tell our listener. And too much, I believe, we think about community, but we don't do anything about it. And I don't know if I'm right or wrong, but to me, it seems like we wish, we want, but we don't do. Do you find that amongst the peers that you have in the industry?
I do find that. And I think that's a lot of times people don't realize that they have the time they don't think they have. You know,
I love that. It
really doesn't take any effort at all, any more effort than getting up and putting your clothes on. If you're already thinking about it, you're already doing it. You just need to put it into action. And so how do you put it into action might be the big burden. Again, going back to time, or what is the first thing I can do? Or maybe people think the little things won't add up or the little things don't count. And well, it's just like the first raindrop in a storm. It all adds up.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. We have done shows on community. They're pretty cool. They're emotional usually because of the connection that people have to certain fundraising, certain events, people that are challenged. Even if it's sponsoring the ball club, I mean, that's, you know, that's community. And boy, you're doing stuff with cars for people. I just love that.
Well, we love cars and we love people, but you mentioned the ball game. So in our business, We'd already been helping people long before we had a business. My husband and I love to just give things away, and cars is one of them. But speaking of the ball club, if your customers or your vendors or your employees come to you and say, you know, this is important to me, can you help? What's important to them, I hope, is important to you. So yeah, find a way to help.
Do you ever say no to somebody who comes in and asks?
I don't believe I've ever said no. I might have said not now, or it might not be right for us at this time.
Okay, that's because some people don't know how to graciously, you know, walk away from something. So I love that. Not now. It's not a good time for us.
Yeah, or you know, say that you need more information so that you can make a decision. If your quick response is no because it doesn't seem to connect with you, or you don't see the funds available, look into more of what it is and why they're asking for help, and maybe will be the answer then instead of no.
How many calls a day do you think, how many calls a week or a month do you get from people that see you as a important business in the community, and you know, you're on the short list of people that volunteers have to reach out to? How many you get?
Maybe one or two a week. It's really not overwhelming at all.
It's not overwhelming, but that's 52 things that people are asking for: a gift basket, a gift card, a sponsorship, and you can't do them all. Am I right?
Well, so a gift card, $20.
Okay.
I can do that. You see these sponsorship levels. Let's talk about a golf tournament. You know, $50 to sponsor a tee for some small golf tournaments. That's huge. And the people golfing are probably your customers. In fact, if you like to golf, and my husband does, invite some of your customers. Pay for the foursome too. So that's $150, $250 in our community. It's different for every community. You see other people go for that gold tier sponsorship, $2,500. We've never been able to give that big of a donation. So 52 times 50, what is that number?
There you go. There's the number.
So couldn't I do all of them just a little bit?
Absolutely. I mean, that's where I was thinking off the top of my head, that if you could do something for someone every week, you're spending you're probably spending more on social media and internet stuff than you would be in the community. And maybe that needs to be flipped around.
Well, maybe let's talk about what's more effective.
Yeah.
What means more in the long run? What means more to you at home and to the people that, well, I like to think of my shop as my house. So the people that are in your house,
yeah.
You know? So people don't care how much you know. They want to know how much you care.
Right.
That's a pretty famous quote.
Yeah, we've heard that many times over our life, even as a good leader for your own people. And it does dive down into the community. What's your favorite charity?
Right now?
Yeah.
The one I'm forming?
Yeah. Oh, that's right. I remember reading that. She's forming a 501c3,
You did ask about the cars. So,
yeah, I did.
So going back to that, my husband and I love cars. I hope everybody in automotive does.
Yeah.
And we know the difference that a vehicle can make. You know, I grew up in a small community. When I grew up, there was no Uber or Lyft, and taxi service was for the people that couldn't drive home from the bar because that was the option they had, maybe. But not many people could afford a taxi just to go to work or to go to school or to support their children's needs or to go to the doctor. So they need a car of their own. And then you have so many people that are struggling these days to get ahead. Life is hard enough. If you have a car, it can change everything for you. If you live in a rural community, how do you get to work? If it's in the next bedroom, you know, the next, what do they call that? The sister community, mm-hmm. 10, 15 miles down the road. To walk to work, it just may not be an option where you live. And so then you end up on social support services, and that's tough. That's pretty tough.
It sounds to me, as I have interviewed people that do this, just like you, Dina, over the past 6 years, that people, I think, help in the community, but I don't think they're helping to the degree that you're getting the car, you're fixing the car, you're identifying the individual who gets it with some kind of community organizations, and then you're saying to them, here's a gift card within a year, come back and we'll do any maintenance for you. I mean, you're going very deep in this thing. It's so honorable. Why do people hesitate to do this?
Maybe they haven't thought of it. And if they have, I think they're overthinking it.
All right, that's where I want to go.
Yeah.
Let's talk about how simple it is to do.
So this just happened. So we're going to talk about two things at the same time. Community support for somebody else's charity, and how did it help mine grow at the same time? And it's growing. So Southern Arizona Book Heroes, I know the founder, and I know the program is an amazing program, and we'll talk about the details of that maybe later. But I asked the people in my shop, I said, this young lady needs a crew of volunteers to sort thousands of books into age-appropriate groups and then select them for appropriate content. And those books are then going to be given to first responders who are out in our community supporting children in a time of crisis, supporting literacy and supporting that first responder's connection to the children.
I love this whole thing. I read about it from you. I just can't wait to hear the story.
So we did this volunteer day. It was amazing. Everybody came together. Everybody from the crew was there. We also had a couple of customers there and Jennifer and a few of her other volunteers. And we had a great time and we made a huge impact. Well, the next day we go to her storage unit to then put all of these sorted books and these stuffed bags back in storage so that over the next couple of weeks she'll be able to distribute them to the Arizona communities. And she asked me to go to her car to get something for her. And she gave me her car keys. And I realized the car was parked a little far away from where we were working. And I took it upon myself to move her car. It's what we do in automotive, right? You give us keys, I'm going to drive your car. So I drove her car. But when I first started it, it did not start well. And when I drove it just across the parking lot, it did not run well. And when I got out and I stepped back and I looked and I said, those are not safe tires. This is not a safe car. This is not reliable. So we need a helper. The next day, I went to the team at My Mechanic, who I feel is the board of directors for the foundation driving forward that we're creating. And I said, hey, guys, Jennifer, the books, this and that. How is she going to get all over Arizona to deliver these books? And they're like, we need to give her a car. I'm like, yeah, I think we do. So the car we gave her was an SUV, and it was a customer of ours who said, you know, I'm not in a position to fix this car. You know, what can I do with it? Does anybody here want to buy it? And my husband says, yep, I'll buy it without question. So we bought the car for a couple hundred dollars, maybe $500-$600. Seems like a lot, right? We go back to that dollar amount that maybe people are hesitant to spend. Mm-hmm. You're like, you can't just be given $500 away. I didn't. I gave away transportation.
Yeah.
I gave away safety. I gave away support for an amazing foundation. Mm-hmm. We didn't give away just a car or $500 because we all know cars are more than nuts and bolts, right?
Yeah.
So we gave her a car and that allowed her to do what she needs to do. And she cried. She was blown away. Her family was blown away. Her other volunteers were blown away. So what did she do? She advertised it. Well, let me not use that word, but let's call it that for this context, because some people say $500. But what do you spend on advertising every month? I don't spend anything, ever.
Just the tires and the car and the repairs to get it to run right, even if you had $1,000 in it.
So we did. We put, because again, that customer didn't want to repair it. So we brought it up to a safe and reliable status. We presented her the vehicle. We also reassured her that for the next year, a short list of things that are safety and reliability related, if these go out, we're going to be here to support you. So she does this post on Facebook talking about it and what a difference it made. Well, one of her viewers saw it. They reached out to me and they said, I have a running van in my driveway. Please come get it. Give it to somebody. So the next car is at my shop right now. It's been to the detail shop. It's got new tires. It's got new brakes. AC's been checked. And it's ready to go. So currently I've reached out to my community and said, nominate somebody. Now, my community is the customers and the vendors and the other wonderful people of Tucson area that I'm connected to, and said, I have a vehicle. It's a van. So we'd like it to go to maybe a family or a person with children or a person that needs said type of vehicle. Nominate them. Well, what is a nomination? I said, tell me what they're doing to get ahead. Tell me what their struggle is that's blocking them. Tell me what a difference a vehicle would make. I'll take that to the board of directors, i.e. everybody that works at my company, and we'll say, can we help this individual? Is it a good fit for the vehicle? And we're going to give them a car. We've done this for 4 years now without having a 501c3. It's been purely funded by the people that work at My Mechanic volunteering their time. My mechanic has funded the repairs and, if needed, the purchase of the vehicle. But the difference that it's made for people is just, how do you say it? It compounds. The first van we gave away, I got to connect with a customer the other day who was not our customer before this. but has been our customer for 5 years since. He said, oh yeah, it helped me get a job and a second job. It helped my family, you know, go to the doctor or go to school. And we got on our feet so well because I had those two jobs. I then gave that vehicle to a school teacher who needed it to deliver home delivered meals. So what is the cost?
You got the biggest heart that I know.
Thank you. It's what I do. I like to help.
And she even brought her own tissues. You're building culture inside the shop. And obviously, the kind of company whose brand is people is community. I love the whole thing about the books. I'm not sure we're going to get into the books, but here's the thing I love about the books. In any kind of domestic issue that the police would go to, and there may be a child there, the books in the book bag help them concentrate on other things while it's being sorted out. Is that how it works?
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's a distraction for the child. But it also hopefully is promoting literacy, you know, in our communities, because we struggle with that in our country sometimes. And literacy is a key to so many open doors, yeah. You know, and so it's good, like just unmeasurable goodness there.
Wow.
So, and then right now also our country is struggling a little bit with law enforcement issues. We all know that. We're not going to talk about that here, but let's talk about how does it connect the future generations? You know, with these law enforcement first responders, it could be an investigator who's investigating a very serious issue.
Yeah.
That, you know, how is a 6-year-old child going to talk to somebody in a suit who's all about serious business? They have training to connect with kids, but doesn't mean the kids have training to connect with them.
Yeah. The board of directors that you call the people that work for you. I love that idea. It's not a foundation that you go to of people in the community. It's the team.
Yeah. And I want to touch on that. You mentioned culture. So I want to say this carefully because I don't want to out any of my team members. But let's say that a shop were to have a team member that maybe you just don't feel has that team spirit sometimes. How do you connect with them? How do you help them with the culture? You know they have because you brought them into your team. You know, you talked about culture before you hired them. But you're just not seeing it lately. When he saw what we were doing with Southern Arizona Book Heroes, when he saw what we were doing with Thriving Forward, that gave him a different sense of purpose in the business. He's not just fixing cars. And I know this person. I know he already have that culture. But for some people, when you come to work, it's an 8-to-5 job. And they don't realize that, well, for some employers, it's not a job at all. This is a second family. Mm-hmm. And a lot of employees feel that, but not everybody. Some people do see it as a place to come to work. I think for this individual, it really made a difference to him to see that it was more than a job to us. And now it's more than a job to him.
Hey, Carm here. And coming up, Dina explains how her husband's side hustle turned into his own automotive repair shop. Hey, Carm here, and I'm excited to announce the chance to nominate your favorite shop owner, service advisor, and technician of the year. These annual Apex Awards recognize the superstars among us in the industry, and those are the ones who drive the industry forward, serving as role models and truly go above and beyond to help keep the world's 1.4 billion vehicles on the road. To nominate a shop owner, service advisor, or technician, go to aapexshow.com/service awards. For more details, I'll put this link in the episode's show notes. Apex has lined up an independent panel of shop owners and industry leaders to review the nominations and select the award recipients. The best of the best will be announced November 2nd during the opening keynote session at the Sands Expo in Las Vegas during Apex. Don't wait. Do it now. Nominations are due Wednesday, September 1st, 2021. Hey, look, I know that you know of a deserving person. The automotive industry is blazing through with so many twists and turns and changes. Careful not to crash. Yet amidst it all, the demand for repair is a constant. So the questions remain, will repair shops adapt or die? Well, our friends at Shopware Shop Management Software get it. Their CEO is a shop owner. They understand what it takes to repair cars, and they're ready for the next big thing in automotive. Shopware tailors mainstream web-based technology to the needs of the industry's leading repair shops. You can run entirely digital, phone optional, and paper-free. Interactive online repair orders will not only meet the needs of contemporary drivers, but they are blown away by the experience. Connecting the aftermarket together, Shopware's ecosystem enables next-generation shop efficiency and customer satisfaction without compromise. Full-service onboarding and best-in-class support provide everything a shop needs to transform its business and stay competitive long into the future. Enjoy more accurate quotes, more profitable jobs, busier technicians, and of course, happier customers. On the web at getshopware.com. How many, in 4 years, how many cars have you given away?
Probably five now.
Five.
I think we're up to five. So and I have two that are pending probably as soon as I get home from this conference.
So you don't say we're going to do one a year. You just do it based on the fact that I have this and then you find and look for a need.
Yes. It's when the cars come to us as soon as we can make them available. So there, we've been a very quickly growing business. We haven't always had the time to focus on this program. And I'll admit, last year gave many people an excuse for many things to not get done. And driving forward really wasn't worked on last year. But this year, it's taking, it's full steam ahead. I thought when I started this year that I would focus on one a quarter. But I think we're going to probably give away more than 10 cars this year. I really do.
Oh, my God. You're in business with your husband, Billy.
Yep.
My mechanic, maintenance, and repair. How long have you been in business?
7-8 years open to the public. It's a good long story, though. The business was created in 2008. It really took off from probably mid-2012, 2013, and got a storefront and exploded as of January 14. It's been full steam ahead. So that's not very long.
So it evolved from probably working at home or something like that?
So you could say that a little bit.
Okay, well, I get that. I mean, to me, the evolution of so many of our businesses were like that. Hey, I worked in the street until somebody kicked me out, and then I had to go. I had to be a business person. I had to get a shop, but it's a common story.
So our story is not common. I've not yet met anybody like this. So many of the shop owners I know bought their business, built their business, or inherited their business. We were told to open a business by the people we serve. And it sounds cheesy and catchy, but my mechanic was truly built by and for the customers. We did not have a choice. We get to work there.
Tell me more.
So my husband was a full-time mechanic. My background's home health care. And if you want to look at it, I think we've both always been helpers. Mechanics are heroes. They make a difference. They save, so much for people. So we're helpers. And one of my husband's former bosses came to him and said, "You need to open a business." "No, we don't. We don't know anything about business." And I like to say, we laughed and laughed and we laughed him right out the door. He wasn't laughing. He went home and made business cards. I'll call them calling cards since we didn't have a business. So he made these calling cards and he gave them to his friends. And he said, call my friend. So when somebody calls you and says, "I'm a friend of a friend," you don't think much of it. You don't put anything together. You say, "Okay, well, your issue I can help you with. I got some time this weekend." But most of all, he would say, "Come to my regular day job and I'll take care of you." So that was back in 2008, and in homage to that in our cards and our logo, you'll see established 2008. But let's go forward to 2010, where another customer came along and said, "You really need to start a business." Between that 08 and 2010, we found out about the cards. We're like, "You need to stop doing this." He goes, "Oh, I ordered you a box. You'll be getting those in the mail." So we...
Thank you, Billy.
Yeah, well, so my husband's Billy, and Rick... There's several players in what I like to call the story. So the first player was Rick. He made the cards. And then in mid-2010, another friend said, "You're going to rent a commercial building and open a business." And my husband said, I can't afford a commercial building. I'm not prepared to do that." Well, that friend, Nick, said, "I didn't come to ask. I came to tell you. I've already made the arrangements. You're going to rent this building. It's a friend of mine. She needs a renter and you need a building." My husband says, "I don't think I can afford it." He goes, "I've already discussed that too, and you can afford it."
I'm blown away by this story. And if it gets better, I can't wait
to
hear it.
It does. So I'll have to choke that down real quick. It does. So Nick said, "You're going to rent a commercial building." And my husband comes home from lunch with Nick. I said, "My God, what are you doing? Are you opening a business?" "No, no, no, no. It's just a place to do my side work." So to fast forward today, he calls it side work that got out of control. And I said, okay, that's fine. But you're in a commercial building and people are trusting you to take care of their vehicle. And we've always been about doing the right thing. So immediately he got a business license so that we could pay the proper taxes. And I helped him take out a commercial policy so that we were covered like a business, that we weren't a business yet. Well, Nick's son-in-law came in, and this guy is Mike. And Mike said, you need a website, and you need a Facebook page, and you need a listing, and you need this, and you need an email. And I'm like, no, we're not a business. Click on his keyboard. He goes, too late. It's live. Wait.
You've been in denial here through this whole story.
No. Yeah. We finally came to terms with it shortly thereafter. So you see that terms with it. Yeah. So Mike makes the website go live. And I'm like, what are you doing? He goes, you're going to run a business. And I'm like, no, I'm not. I don't know anything about business. And really, ATI will come into the story as well. Because I've said that several times. We didn't know anything about business. We know people.
Yeah.
So once you're on the internet, vendors start to discover you and people start to leave reviews and things start happening. And at some point in the next year or two, my husband's day job didn't have as much work as his little side gig did. He had more work nights and weekends than he had 8 to 5. So he says, I'm going to quit my job. Oh, no, what are you doing? And he says, I'm quitting my job. And
she's
it's
still
be
in
okay.
denial, everyone.
Well, I'm still running a 23-year home healthcare career. You know, I thought we'd be fine forever. But our friends didn't. Our community didn't. They said, you're going to open a business. And they made us do that. It continued to get better. So Billy quit his job. And by the end of 2013, one of his customers, another Mike, comes in and says, you can't take care of my small fleet of trucks. You need employees. You need a storefront. You need a lobby. You need an office. You need to grow. Billy says, I can't do that. You know, again, the theme is the same. By and for the customers. If you think about the people I've mentioned, what they were doing is securing the fact that they'd always have a lifelong mechanic and also supporting somebody to do, you know, what they needed to do for themselves and their community. I think they saw something in us. I don't know. So
well, that goes without saying.
Well, Mike comes along and Mike says, you need this building. And Billy says, I can't move. I can afford this building I'm in. And Mike says, but it's not enough. And so my family, there's a building down the street. If you can grow your business from there, we'll buy it and you can rent it.
Whoa.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's an investment. It was smart for them. So they bought that building. Billy and one employee moved in January of 14. By October of 14, there was 4 people working there and I retired from healthcare. And that wasn't enough.
Tell me the timeline between Rick and then Mike in the second building. Was that 5 years?
So in 08 to 13. So yeah.
Okay, five
right.
years.
Right. It went slow, but you know, I guess that's sometimes how a garden grows. And so he moved into that first building and it was pretty phenomenal and things went pretty quick and the people came and the people kept coming and the people kept coming. From the first month, whatever numbers he had in his database, the next month it was double that and then double that. And that continued for 18 months. Sometime in that timeline, we were referred to ATI and they came in. We went to the presentation that most shop owners, you know, well, all shop owners in ATI have gone to the presentation where you learn about ATI and they say, we can help you grow your business. We can help you understand numbers. We showed them our numbers and they're like, nah, you're doing something. We know you're going to be something, but you're not quite there yet. We don't quite know how we can help you. You've got some work to do. Again, we didn't know anything about business. We didn't know P&Ls. We didn't know FICA, FUTA, SUTA. You know, we didn't know what a loaded employee is. Not even the ones that came in, you know, that way. Ha-ha, little joke there.
Yeah.
You know, we knew that kind of employee, but we didn't know what a loaded cost employee is. You know, what payroll meant and, you know, how to have, you know, plans for your business, how to grow your business. We didn't know any of that. So ATI said, you know, we'll talk to you next year.
Yeah.
And when they came back next year, they're like, oh my God, get on board. This is going to be fun.
Just out of your natural, the outpouring from the community, the fact that Billy probably did great work.
Oh, he's in a phenomenal mechanic.
And the business just kept growing in spite of the fact that you didn't. It's the common theme. So many people start businesses and I don't know if you kind of, let me just say this, if you weren't rescued, if you weren't rescued by ATI.
Yeah. Well, we would never have been where we are. I mean, you can care about people. You can have all the culture you can imagine. You can have all the community support you can imagine. You can have all the cars you can possibly count. You can be the greatest mechanic on earth. But if you don't know business sense, then you're not going to make it. Some people wake up and they're like, oh yeah, I was born with all this. And some people learn it from friends and family. We learned it from ATI. We didn't just learn business sense. ATI is so much more than that. It teaches you to take care of yourself. If you don't know how to connect with your customers, it will teach you that. If you don't know how to hire people, if you don't know how to, which, you know, I hope you never have to learn, but how to fire people, ATI will teach you that too. They'll teach you when to fire them and when to hire them and how to recruit them and how to keep them and how to keep them wanting to be with you. If maybe you're just a different kind of employer and maybe you're hard to work for, ATI will teach you how to get out of that.
I'm trying to figure out your leap into this, into the cars, into the books. And I think I discovered it because the community helped you to start this evolution of 5 years where here's the, here's your business cards, here's your building, here's your website, here's your employees, here's the new building. Mm-hmm. And all that was coming from external sources.
Absolutely.
It was coming from community, friends or not. It was coming from outside. And there had to be a point in time when the opportunity to give a car away felt like the right give back.
That and so much more. We love to give to our community, and I seek out ways to make a difference. With Jennifer in Southern Arizona Book Heroes, when I first met her, she knew what she was doing, but she did not ask for help or what help she needed. And so for really the last 3 years, I've sort of followed her and paid attention to what's going on with her nonprofit. Maybe once or twice a year, can I help you? What help do you need? Oh, I don't know. And just recently she says, you know, wow, well, a lot of people have been donating to my charity and we have all these books and now I don't know how to get them back out to the officers. And so it was kind of my idea of let's get this volunteer day together. I practice giver's gain every day.
I love it. You wrote to me and you said, car auto repair should be more than nuts, bolts, and money.
Absolutely. Those are just, you know, you will always be successful if you think of other people first. Where does your car take you, Carm?
Wherever I want it to.
Where do you want to go?
At this current moment?
Mm-hmm.
To the airport.
That's a very important ride. What if your car doesn't make it to the airport?
I'm late for my flight.
Yeah.
I know the whole reliability thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's there for you. We take it for granted.
Yeah. So cars take people to the airport. Cars take people to shows. Cars take people to school. They take them to work. They take them to the doctor. They take them to funerals and weddings too. Yeah.
They take them to see grandkids.
They take them to see grandkids, right? They brought me here to this conference.
Yeah.
Cars are not nuts and bolts. Every now and then you'll run into somebody who says, it's just a car. But let me take it away from you and see how you feel about it then. Cars are vessels of freedom.
Wow. I'm sorry. I have never heard that like that. Vessels of freedom.
I just came up with that.
Good. One of the biggest hearts that I know.
Thank you.
Wow.
We have three buildings now. We call it the compound. They're all customer owned. There's 9 of us working there. My husband and I are 2 employees full time. The home I live in, I also bought from a customer because he knew I didn't like the home I was in. He offered me his at a rate I could afford and a time that I needed it most. In fact, he let me live in it for 2 years for rent because I wasn't sure I could ever afford to live there. And he says, we'll figure it out.
What an amazing, amazing story. You also are a member of BNI.
Oh,
I mean, so
yeah.
Many people talk about BNI. Could you just give us a couple of minutes to convince our audience why BNI is important?
Okay, so imagine yourself, you've got a small business, you're trying to get it started, and you want to tell people about it, and you want people to talk about what you do. So this is kind of a made-up example of a scenario that probably would never happen. You walk out of your house, and you're like, hey, there's a coffee shop down the street. I'm going to walk in and ask the owner if he'll take an hour out of his day to sit down and ask me everything I can tell him about my business. And then I'm going to ask him to ask me how he can refer business my way. Do you think that would ever work out? I don't know the owner. I've never met him. How do you think he's going to react?
Don't get me up on my soapbox about that, but there's shop owners that won't help other shop owners
okay.
in our business, which pees me off, but I appreciate that.
So yeah. Let's change the scenario. I'm a BNI member and I go on the BNI Connect website and I look up and I say, oh my goodness, the coffee shop's a BNI member. So I'm going to send him a message and say, you know, hey, Bob, yeah. Would you happen to have some time for a one-to-one next week? I'd really like to learn more about your business. And I first am going to reach out to Bob and I'm going to learn everything about his coffee shop. I'm going to learn, you know, how he built it and what his personal goals are and what his professional goals are. And then the next time I just happen to overhear somebody say, my gosh, I'd really like to go get some coffee. I'm going to say, you know what? I know a great place you can get coffee. I happen to know the owner. And I'm going to send that person down there, not because it's going to come back my way, but because Bob made the commitment to BNI to learn about other businesses in his community. And I, too, have made that commitment. And so sometimes people think it's a little cheesy, but it's not to be rhymy and cheesy, but it's really freaking easy.
Yeah. Today was you're the second person today in the interviews that mentioned BNI, Business Networking International. We sometimes throw too many acronyms around here on the show, and I just want to join it in your community. But they only let one of a kind in the group, right?
Exactly. You might have a chapter, if you will. Let's say the chapters average 20 to 30 people in a room. And out of those people, there may be other people in my industry, but there's nobody who focuses on generalized auto repair. Mm-hmm. So it would be pretty awesome if there was in the room that was a mobile auto detailer. Yeah. When they go to detail somebody's car and the side mirror is falling out or the car didn't drive well, they're going to tell that customer, hey, you liked my service. I know somebody who's as good as me. You should call the My Mechanic in my chapter. And the same thing, where did I get my business insurance? Where do I think about health insurance? Where do I think about gift baskets or the coffee shop or the local veterinarian or the body paint guy or the glass person? They're all in the room with me every single week. And I get to know their business and I get to know them personally. And I get to decide, is it a good fit for the people I know to refer? Now, let's say outside of BNI, your brother owns a coffee shop. Inside of BNI, Bob owns a coffee shop. Well, couldn't I tell my friend, I know a couple coffee shops I could recommend you to? You've got my brother with the coffee shop, or you've got Bob with the coffee shop. There's no harm in referring both.
Right.
The idea is, again, givers gain. Support your community. And in BNI, it's a pretty tight-knit community. We all want to see each other succeed.
Givers gain. There's another Dina-ism.
That's from BNI. I can't own that one.
Oh, you can't? Okay.
That's what we believe it. We live it.
This was great. Any final words?
I know the audience is automotive related and mostly auto shop owners. And if you're struggling to make a connection in your community, find ways to help your community. Be direct with your customers. If you notice something, if you overhear something, ask them about it and say, how can I help you? That is the best way to ever help people. Ask them. Don't ever, ever, ever assume you know. Don't look at a situation or a person and say, oh, I know what they need. I know what's going to make a difference. I'm just going to do this for them. Because you don't, unless you're them. So just ask them, and you'll be surprised. Sometimes people do know how to ask, and sometimes they don't. But just asking, you've already helped because you've started that dialogue. And it means you care. And it shows people that you're not just trying to run a business. You're trying to be a community member.
Yeah. Wow. What a powerful, powerful message. Don't wait for them to walk in. Ask them, what can I do to help?
Yeah.
Wow. Dina Ganji, thanks for helping me with my studio yesterday. Thank you for coming in here to give us this incredible story on the power of differentiation in community. And you got one of the biggest hearts that I know of from My Mechanic Maintenance and Repair out of Tucson, Arizona. Thanks.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.